this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pop if you don't control the pop. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is being recorded live Wednesday, December 18, 2013. This is Aaron filling in for the meat beast. You might say this is the vegetarian version of Three in the Box. On my right is Kenny.
What up?
And on the left is Mr. Jav.
Good evening, folks.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter. We are at Three in the Box. We live tweet. We talk nonsense and talk about Danny Heatley falling over pretty much.
And drinking beer.
Lots of beer.
Wow, that made for some great radio there, Kenny.
Beer.
Beer.
Someone's a little sleepy from going to the show last night, I think.
A little bit.
Ended up going to a Red Fang last night. Great show at the Triple Rock.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Phenomenal show.
Yeah, we're all a little moving kind of slow today.
Yep. So let's just jump right in and we'll start talking about the Wild.
So yeah, the week starts off last Wednesday with the Wild losing to the Ducks 2-1. Just ugly, flat-footed. I don't know what happened to those guys, but it was just a horrible-looking game.
They were the Ducks were skating circles around them. I mean, there's really no other way to put it.
Literally, I mean, they were skating circles around players.
I don't think they won one race to the puck.
No, it looked terrible. I mean, they played a terrible game. I mean, there's really no way to make it sound any better than it was because it was really quite that bad.
I mean, Koivu looked all right. I won't say which one, but Koivu looked okay.
Corey Perry gets the game winner. Pominville scores the lone Wild goal, a power play goal, with Koivu and Suter assisting on that. So, really, it was a bad game. I mean, there's...
Yeah. Anyways, let's.
We won't beat a dead horse on that one, but we'll continue on.
Can we beat a dead duck on that one?
We can beat a dead shark as the Wild then lose to the Sharks, or I mean the refs, 3-1. Just a terribly officiated game. It's probably the worst officiated game I can remember in a long, long time. We had a bogus interference call on Ryan Suter when he was finishing a check. Apparently, finishing a check is interference now. We had a Brad Stewart call, Brett Ballmer on Brad Stewart, called high stick. Stewart was diving. The replays showed that the stick didn't hit him. And then we also have the high sticking by Konopka, where his stick is on the ice and the official on the ice who called the play had his back to the play. So just really ridiculous. And that Konopka play ended up leading to a power play goal. The Wild were on the PK 12 minutes of the first period. And all three San Jose goals are power play goals.
Yeah, just ugly. So that kind of leads us to the first bit of discussion. No pun intended, but jumping the shark a little bit. two of the games this past week, Konopka's been called on some BS penalties. He really has. The Vancouver game last night, he got called for a trip that clearly was a Vancouver skater losing his edge, and Konopka just happened to be right behind him. Right. Dude goes into the boards. You know, you get what's his name now? The head coach for Vancouver.
Tortorella.
Tortilla. Just complaining to the refs that, you know, why isn't it 4 minutes and blah, blah, blah. I guess my question is, does Konopka have a target on his back since he does like to cheat just a touch, but I don't see him as a very dirty player.
He's not dirty. He's just got one of those faces that you just don't like.
Well, that's why people keep punching it.
Face only a mother could love.
Right.
Or maybe Hoppy.
Or you could say he's got a face made for podcasting.
Full of them tonight.
I don't know that anyone's has a target on him. I guess. He's a fourth line guy, so it's not like he's getting enough skate time to really be that sort of guy anyway.
Well, and even when he is, he's sitting in the box.
Right.
In any of your, I'm not going to call him an enforcer, but any of your more physical guys that you're going to send out there, to control the defensive side of your game, I guess you'd say. Any of them, when you kind of have a reputation like that, you're not always going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. Well, and the refs, the refs know these guys. Yeah. They know who is who. And, when a guy like that, not that Konopka is, Bogart or anything, but, when he gets on the ice, the refs are going to keep a closer eye on him.
And he is.
Or closer back on them.
Yeah, well, there was that, too, when he's getting called for a high stick, when the ref who calls it's back is completely turned.
Right. But, you have a guy flailing around on the ice like he was just shot. And Konopka's sitting there with his ugly-looking face. It's hard not to call a penalty on him.
If he didn't get punched in his face so much, maybe he'd be a good-looking guy.
It's like 2 minutes for being born.
Oh, God.
All right.
So, yeah,
so that brings us up. Then the Wild, they took on the Avalanche, and they actually won this one. In a shootout.
Curly fries.
I believe it was Parise and Koivu got the goals in the shootout. The Nino Niederreiter got the goal during the game.
Right. Actually, Koivu, he hasn't been too successful in the shootouts this year, but he actually got one by, so that was a little bit surprising, to be honest.
Taking it to the backhand.
Which he always does, so it's like...
Right.
It's like every single shootout, backhand. He's, 3-for-8 or 3-for-9 now on the season on the shootout. So it's like
33%.
He's not fooling anyone. He gets by just on quote-unquote skill a little bit. But, he's not an elite shooter. So being a one-trick pony leaves him... kind of exposed, I would say.
Well, okay, so here's a question for you. He's obviously not up there with the Wild leading in goals right now.
He is.
Is he?
Yeah, he's third.
Oh, okay, well.
But that doesn't say, that's not saying a whole lot.
But that's not saying a whole lot, I suppose. Yeah. We don't have a ton of guys that have good hands that have skill.
No, we really don't.
That's,
But, and actually, speaking of the fact that he's third on the team in goals, Parise and Pommaville are the top three on the team in goals. I believe Parise and Pommaville are in the mid teens. And I think Koivu was at 7, something like that.
Ouch.
So when those three do not score, the Wild are 2-6-3. When they do score, one of them, any of them, they're 18-5-2. Is this why the Wild have been struggling so much? Because all of our scoring are coming from those three guys? And we have no scoring whatsoever.
I would say that's probably a pretty good assumption.
You've got
to have production across the board. It's a team sport. Not one group of guys can be out there the whole game.
Right.
That's just like it is. When you look at a team like say Chicago,
they're coming at you line after line.
Well, they've got to come.
They're
at you
deep.
From all directions.
They're deep with their lines too.
That's what she said.
You're one time, Jive. You're one time.
Move my wad.
That's what she said.
There's other teams. Look at Anaheim. They've got a few lines of talent that can score. Whereas you look at our second line is young guys, so it's hard to put a lot of faith in them. Because on a normal team, they'd probably be the third line.
Yeah.
Or in the AHL. our third line has got, you know, we got Brodziak, who scored two goals this year. We've got Cook, who was on a tear at the beginning of the season, but he's kind of fallen off the face of the earth. And then we have a rotation of Danny Heatley, Brent Palmer,
whoever.
Torrey Mitchell. It's just a rotation of characters trying to fill up that third spot. And then whatever we have on the fourth line never scores because Konopka, he's got a single goal. Going back to Torrey Mitchell. So it's not Fontaine. I think Fontaine might have a goal or two. So we're not getting a ton of scoring on the second, third, or fourth line.
Well, the second line was.
It was.
When Granlund was healthy and we had Pomaville on that line.
Yeah.
Which I believe he still is kind of playing that line right now.
He's back there now that Coyle is back on the top.
Put those two, and we'll see some production come out of that line again.
Right.
Also,
But you need scoring on the third and fourth line. You don't need a ton of it. I mean, because that's not their roles. But you need something. You need to be a threat.
Well, look at when that third line was starting off the games, where Brodziak, Cook, and throwing player number three. But those guys were always a pretty killer line for the opening faceoff and starting rallying everybody up right off the bat. And that's when they were on their hot streak, is when you got your third line actually starting off solid like that and getting the tempo started.
I mean, you could also make the argument, is it because Yo's constant shuffling of the lines? Is that why we're not getting it? I mean, we ran into problems last year because of not having the shuffling, and then when we had injuries, the guys couldn't play together because...
Nobody had the chemistry.
Right. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, but I don't know if that's the real cause of it or if that's just a red herring.
I think he should have his solid lines and then start moving guys around as need be when you get injuries. You don't see teams like Chicago mixing up their lines like this all the time.
No, you don't.
Well, and that might just go to say that, we don't have all the pieces.
This is true.
I mean, our scoring is really bottom of the league. The only reason our record is as good as it is because of Hardy.
Yeah.
No, we obviously have the talent that can put the pucks in the net.
I don't know if that's a
true statement.
A true statement.
Yeah. No? You think we got just a ton of assist guys? Grinders that have no problem playing, pass the puck around?
We got a couple guys that'll put it in the net. But that isn't going to... That's not going to take you to the Stanley Cup.
No, not at all.
I mean, I think like a guy like Cook is a good role player that can score some goals. So I put him in a camp that, he can put up some goals. He's going to be in the mid-teens for goals, and I think that's acceptable for a third liner. Brodziak hasn't scored this year, barely scored last year. He's basically been a dud since he got his big extension from us. Coy.
So you're saying he's an all-star like Heatley?
Heatley's another one. Yeah, I mean, Heatley's obviously turned into a bit of a pumpkin. He's not scoring with any sort of authority anymore.
Well, it is after midnight in his career.
Koivu, he's never been a scorer per se.
No.
He's always looked to dish the puck off and you could say he's a two-way guy or whatever, but which is probably true because he grew up under the Lemaire system, so he's got a little bit of a different way of operating. I don't know.
Well, okay, so looking at the top goal scorers right now in the NHL, Pomaville's number 18 and Parisi's number 15. That's not bad places to be when you got two guys in the top 20.
Sure, but that's one line.
This is true.
I know we had a discussion the other night with a mutual friend about, the Wild, even the Wild's top line is that they wouldn't be on the top line of any other good team. And I don't think that's true. I think that's... At least with Parisi. Parisi is, I think, a definite top liner on another team.
I think Pomaville's a definite top liner, too.
I would agree. Because they both were on other teams' top lines. Granted, it was the Sabres, but it was also the Devils.
And the Devils, went on a playoff. They made it to the Cup that year.
Yeah. So I think that's a bit of a bogus thing. But I think it's fair. You could say Koivu if he's on another team. Is he a top line guy? I mean, I think that's fair.
Well, I mean, who else do we have for a top line center?
Who else do we have?
We don't have any.
We don't have anybody.
No. I mean.
We're not very deep.
No, we're not.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
No, we're not. I mean, and in center in particular, I mean, I'm going to be harsh on Konopka, and I realize he's got a role on the fourth line. But really, Granlund's injury just puts the spotlight on how we don't have centers in this organization right now.
We've always kind of been hurting on centers, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't remember when we've ever been very center heavy.
Yeah, no, that's very true. There's a time where we were really good on D and really good on wings. We've never really, and goalies as well, but we've never had a center presence.
No, so I off season. Yo, 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 Fletcher, Fletcher, Fletcher.
Oh, yo, yo.
We need some centers. And we need some good solid centers.
I don't know if they'll listen.
Well,
well, speaking of centers, Granlund is skating with the team now. Hopefully getting a comeback from his concussion here. I know that Russo had reported that he was feeling really good after his morning skate the other day. Hopefully that's a good sign.
Here's hoping.
It sounds like, last I heard, it doesn't sound like he's going to be playing Thursday night against Pittsburgh, but...
It sounded like he might come back for the Rangers game, but might come after that.
Well, the Rangers is still on the road.
Right.
So are they going to...
He's going with the team.
Okay. Well, that's a promising sign, because if they're letting him fly...
Right. But, you know, they could wait. They might actually need him for the Flyers game, because it'll be a back-to-back, so they might want to... Bring him back then.
Yeah, because they're
You're going to be waiting until you're back in Winnipeg. So, and that's a week away.
That's after the Christmas break, I believe.
Right.
So, so with that last night's game, another shootout victory for the Wild. Two in a row for Harding.
And we're just racking up the curly fries.
Yeah. Anybody taking advantage of these?
I got some today.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. It was delicious.
Nice.
Bo Deedle can suck it.
Wasn't it you that had mentioned to me, like, when you're eating curly fries, just imagine them as, like, deep-fried Bo Deedle pubes?
I may have said that, yes.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I think one of the highlights, there's actually quite a few highlights in that Vancouver game.
I think the biggest thing after this last three games where the Wild, even in the Colorado game, they didn't look terribly sharp. The Canucks game, they were just going at it. And
they looked very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, they looked like the team that we had gotten used to over that little bit of a winning streak.
So hopefully they're back. You know, we get this jaunt going out to the East Coast. The East teams definitely aren't playing nearly as well as the West.
No.
So hopefully get some numbers back up, maybe move up the ranks a little bit in position. But yeah, no, they looked awesome. They looked like they were a hard team. They were fighting in the corners. They weren't letting up. They weren't backing down.
Winning the races to the pucks.
Winning the races. The two goals that Vancouver got were actually well deserved goals. They weren't garbage goals by any means.
No, it was an evenly fought game. I think Vancouver, the goals they had were pretty lucky in the sense that the Wild seemed to be kind of dominating the play for the most of the game.
Absolutely. I would go with that judgment.
I would say the second period was probably the weaker part of the Wild game because there was just a little bit of dip in the intensity, if you will.
Yeah, well, I don't know about you guys, though, but I think the Wild should have got a goal just for dressing Nordy up as a green man.
Oh my God! And he's gyrating in front of the bench. Oh,
just taunting the Canucks.
You know, I wasn't too thrilled about it till I did see him jump up on the railing and gyrate his hips at the Vancouver bench. What do you think? Is this going to be a new tradition for the Wild?
I hope so, because that is just brilliant. I mean,
I like it.
I usually, I'll be one of the most pessimistic people on the Wild's marketing, because usually it's too, it's just
too Minnesota nice.
It's Minnesota nice and it's passion, and it's like, we love hockey. Hockey's great. Blah. You know? It's like there's no like personality in it. It's like it could have been any team for that commercial, you know, for any of their commercials.
Right.
You could have put any team in there, and it's like, we love hockey, fight with and play with intensity. You know, it's just cookie cutters sort of marketing stuff.
This is actually somewhat creative, but
it's creative and it's a jab at a formal rival. I think it's just clever as hell.
So, no, I don't recall. Was this the only game that Vancouver's playing here this year? Do we have one more?
I think it's just a pair within the...
within the league. So one here, one there.
Yeah, I think so.
So who knows? Maybe being that it is only going to be one game a year, maybe Nordy will do it next year. Although that means we got to get tickets for next year's game, because if that's the case, man...
Are you going to dress as a green man?
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
No one wants to see that.
Spare us.
I don't want to see that.
But, so we get another shootout game, and Coyle had a really great game. He actually ended up tying the game-tying goal in the third period.
About midway through the third.
Yeah, and Pominville gets a lone shootout goal that nets us the win. Again, a little bit of a callback here, but Koivu... trying the backhand and did not fool Luongo at one bit.
Well, no, he fooled Luongo. He did not fool the pipe.
Right. So, and with that, the Wild now, they win this game by 1 point. They have not won a game by more than 2 goals since November 5th. And in that period, they have got 11 wins since then. 9 have been decided by just 1 point or a shootout. Is this just more indication that the Wild need to figure out what they're going to do scoring? Because I got to imagine this one-goal games they're going to catch up on this eventually here.
It's going to turn me gray and make me go bald.
Well, I tell you what it does do, though. It does build character. And there's something to be said about knowing how to play in a close matchup, too. So...
Yeah.
There
good,
is that,
good,
but
good game experience.
There's also something to be said too. You know, hey, let's get 3 or 4 goals and
bury the other team,
and then just bury them.
And there's been plenty of times where we've had the lead and we just didn't, you know, twist the knife. We just kind of sat on our heels and let them come at us.
Which, you know, okay, from that standpoint, maybe it is good to have these 1-goal games because they're not sitting on their heels then and giving the team the other momentum to come back. Which we have seen happen more often than not with the Wild, where they'll be up by 2 or 3 goals, lose that lead, and all of a sudden you're down to a nail biter at the
end
of the game.
That happens way less than we have a 1-goal lead and they get comfortable, though. That's the problem, is they'll get a 1-goal lead and they'll get comfortable thinking.
This is true.
Thinking they've got it in the bag, and then all of a sudden it's a close game. I don't know.
Yeah.
This team needs to figure out their scoring. I mean, when you got Harding averaging, what, a goal and a half per game.
Yeah.
You need to figure out what you're going to do, because you should be winning all those games.
Absolutely.
All of those games.
There's a lot of pressure on Harding right now, which is very sad, very unfortunate that we don't have that backup. So.
Yeah, and that said, they did announce today that Josh Harding is going to be put on the IR. They say it should only be for about a week. Basically, they're going to do some minor adjustments to his treatment that he's getting for MS. So hopefully he'll be back with us soon. They plan on him hopefully rejoining the Wild for the game against the Jets maybe on the 27th. I'm not sure if he'll actually be back and be able to play that game.
Right, because we remember last year when they had medication issues and he was out for 2 months. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like Fletcher has known about this for a while. They've been talking about it, trying to figure out when they wanted to actually make this break happen. And figured now would be a good time with the Christmas break coming up, where it's basically no fly from the 24th to the 26th. I don't know.
That's fine. Just make everybody play three games wherever they are.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he'll be fine. It sounds like it's pretty routine.
I say send him on a Greyhound. Let him bust it.
There you go.
But I think this actually makes a sort of a side question is that, you know, he's going to miss a handful of games here because of his medication. Is he going to play another full year?
Well, that is a very good question. I think that's going to be tough to tell until we see how the short-term answer would be see how this medication reacts with him if they do change up his treatment at all. If that goes well, we'll see how he plays out to the end of the year. If you know he gets some adverse side effects from it, it could hinder him from playing a full season next year in general.
And that's the thing is they call it a minor adjustment for a treatment. I would think if they had a solid regimen for his treatment, there wouldn't be any need for adjustments. So,
they say they're adjusting it, but are they adjusting it or are they just going to run through some more tests and see if they need to adjust it?
We all don't know that. Yeah.
I guess that's between him and his doctors, but and
well, I think another question is that okay? So we don't know if he's gonna, you know, be around, play another full year after this. I mean, just because of his illness, but is he gonna be one of those guys that was gonna stick around and end up kind of screwing the team because he wants to play and he's got a drive and he wants to be on the ice?
I don't think so.
Or is he gonna have the fortitude to, you know, retire and step away when...
I got to say is based on his performance this year, I honestly think that he's at about, you know, the best I've seen him in his game.
He's definitely one of the best goalies in the NHL right now.
There's no doubt about that, but at the same point, he's got MS. The reality is...
He's not going to last. His career is not going to be as long as, say, what you got some of these other goalies out, like Luongo right now. Who's expected to play till, or is under contract till he's, what, 40 or 41?
70,
or
something like that, yeah.
70, 69.
him and Brett Favre, right? They'll be playing forever.
Right.
Doing Wranglers commercials.
Right. And sending dick pics to chicks.
With their pants on the ground.
Well, except for Luongo plays hockey, so he doesn't know anybody from ESPN. Ooh, sorry.
I think that was more crickets in there. And then I guess, you know, is Gustafson, who's getting called up to be Backstrom backup, is he going to get a chance to play?
Well, it can't be any worse than Kemper.
Yeah.
Kemper's been doing all right, though, I think, in the AHL.
In the AHL side, yeah. Gustafson has been called up twice before this season, but both times were only to sit as the backup.
Right.
Well, you know, Wild have three games before the break, 19th, 22nd, 23rd. So potentially with either, you know, the Rangers or the Flyers, you'd get one of those starts with back-to-back games.
You got to figure he's going to. You got to figure that, right?
You would think so.
I think before that they've actually brought Kemper back up and then sent him back down.
Yeah, it's always a possibility that, you know, it's possible that they were getting Kemper warmed up in Iowa just to bring him up for that, you know, back-to-back game.
This is true, too.
That's a very good possibility.
Although, I mean, I would like to see what Gustafson can do.
Well, and that's the thing is I know we've talked about this probably, you know, week after week, and we're probably all getting blue in the face over it, but, I mean, the reality of it is I think we need to figure out, you know, where we're going with our goalie situation, honestly.
We're in a bad spot. I mean,
yeah.
As much as I love Harding's play this year,
he's not going to...
I'm realistic in that, you know, he's not going to be playing like this for us in 3 years.
Nope.
Backstrom isn't going to be playing like this. Probably not going to be playing at all for us in 3 years. What's our 5-year plan with goalies? Because right now I've got no clue.
Well, I'm sure Fletcher's got something up his sleeve. He's got to be thinking about this night and day too.
Well, see, the thing is that teams don't really trade or sign free agent goalies.
We're gonna have to get somebody like when
who did Chicago just pick up?
LaBarbera.
Yeah. Traded for him though.
Yeah, true.
For a conditional pick.
But he's gonna be backing up Emery, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, but LaBarbera backing up Emery, that's not a bad problem to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you're not picking up all-star talent. Because LaBarbera, as good as he might be, is not an all-star. You're not picking up all-star talent on the free agent wire because teams lock those guys up. Look at Pekka Rinne. You know, look at Luongo when he was in his prime.
Hide your wives, hide your kids, hide your goalies.
Exactly. I mean, teams are locking those guys down. So it's like, we got to, really, as Wild fans, we need to hope that Kemper or Gustafson gets their crap figured out and becomes the next Harding. Because we're going to need it.
Well, I think the Wild are going to have to look at maybe signing somebody similar to, like, Hackett, signing somebody for the AHL team or somebody that they can send down to Iowa right away, but is going to have the talent that you can pull him up and trust that he's going to play well.
Like Jose Theodore?
Yeah. Well.
I guess it didn't really work for us a few years ago, so.
We
didn't exactly do crap with him. So.
It wasn't the worst thing in the world, though, either.
Yeah, they're going to need to figure it out, really, what it comes down to. I don't know. I don't think they're going to fill that hole with free agents. I don't think they're going to. They might be able to fill it with a trade, but we don't. Who are going to trade for a top-line goalie?
Nobody. So.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron.
We're going to be taking Christmas off
and New Year's
for the podcast. So this is going to be a
happy holidays.
Happy holidays. It'll be a nice long break. Not necessarily intended, but you know, just the way the days fall.
Just the way the puck drops.
So this, I'll try to make this brief because it's a ton of games.
You know, and we don't double up on any teams in this whole stretch.
No. We got a big East Coast swing facing the Penguins, Rangers, and Flyers. That's all before Christmas. Then we have the Jets in Winnipeg. That'll be actually our only divisional battle this whole stretch here. Then we're at home for three against the Islanders, Sabres, and Capitals. And then back on the road in L.A. against the Kings.
Back out west.
A lot of East teams.
You know, so maybe it is a good thing that Harding is out now while we're going out to go play these teams in the East.
Yeah, that's what we thought when we had Kemper start in Toronto and he got his ass handed to him and he had to get pulled.
This is true.
And I think even the Buffalo game, it was really uncomfortably close considering Buffalo is like the laughingstock of the league right now. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but Buffalo is basically on a historically bad run this season. They could potentially have the worst record for a non-expansion team in like the last 30 years.
Wow.
They are terrible right now, and we barely beat them.
Well, we get Buffalo here coming up on the 2nd.
So hopefully Pominville can...
Ring in the new year.
Ring in the new
year. So, you guys planning on watching, with all that, with this winter break coming up, you guys planning on watching any of the multitude of outdoor games this year?
I don't know. Is the Winter Classic actually on the 1st this year?
I don't know if it is or not.
I know last year they're saying, if we have it, we're going to have it on the 2nd. And it's like, that was like the one thing that was cool about it was that it was on
you
the
get
first.
To wait, you get to wake up hungover from New Year's, throw the TV on, go out to the bar, get a bloody, get some food, watch the hockey game, and it was something special.
Right.
That might be your plan. I don't want to watch hockey on New Year's Day.
Are you kidding me?
Well. So, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, so the Wild are playing on the 2nd. What the? Yeah. Nice little break for us, though.
All right. So, well, let's move on to what's in other news.
So, pretty what?
Another news in college. We got college break here, but on the 3rd, January 3rd, the Gophers will be hosting the Mariucci Classic, as we spoke of last week. Colgate, RPI, and Ferris State will all be at Mariucci with the Gophers. Women will be off until a ways away, so not much to speak of there.
They're not losing. They're not breaking any streaks then, no.
Right.
Well, yeah. So anything else with the other? What else do we got going on, gentlemen?
I think that's about it for college hockey.
It's, yeah.
Well, should we move on to our picks?
Pick of the week.
Let's do our picks.
All right. I can cover it. Well, last week, we're going to give the win to one Mr. Kenny over there. He picked it right on the nuts with the Wild winning 3-2.
Over the Canucks.
Yeah. And that brings us all into a dead heat for...
We've all had two wins so far this season. So it's we're 8 weeks into this...
Yeah.
So we're 8 weeks into this little scoring system, and we're dead heat.
How did we get the 2 points for the win? Where did that come from? Oh, because...
It's hockey.
Hockey. That's hockey.
It's a two-point system.
Right, all right.
It's hockey. So anyways, coming up, I decided to pick the Wild at the Flyers for a couple of different reasons. None of the games really seemed all that just...
A lot of East.
Nothing really just really that stuck out. That does happen to be the only game that is nationally televised, though.
Yeah.
So, and it should be interesting. I'm looking forward to not to muting Pierre McGuire every time he talks, and trying not to break my TV by throwing a beer bottle at it.
And so my pick for the Wild at the Flyers, I'm going with the Wild. I'm going with 3-2 because all their games seem to be one goal games. So I'm going to roll with it.
And I know that they play a lot of one goal games, but just as we were speaking about earlier, we know that the Wild have their problems getting the puck in the net. Philadelphia, I can't say as much better, but I'm actually going to go with Philly winning this one, 2-1. It'll be a close one, but yeah, once again, we'll fall short out there.
And Aaron, you want to speak for the Meat Beast since he is not in the house right now?
Yeah, I'm going with the Wild 2-1.
All right, Meat Beast.
All right. And, you know, I think they're going to break their one game, one goal, different
scoring
drought a game. I'm going with the Wild winning 4-1.
Well, if they're going to do it against anyone, why not the Flyers, right?
Although, now I just realized that it's going to be either Gustafson or Backstrom in net. And I'm hoping Gustafson's in net that game because the whole Swedish-Finnish conspiracy, Finnish conspiracy theory, you know.
I could believe it. That seems believable to me.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
So with that, I think that about wraps up our show, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, kind of a slow news week.
That's a slow news week outside the Wild. I mean, the Wild had a few games, but no college. Everyone's going on break. We're going on break.
High school kind of just started, but there's a lot of teams that still have not even played anybody in their division yet.
Right.
It's all fairly new.
Also, with that, when I'm not live tweeting the Wild games for 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at AaronGNP, and you can check out my band. I play with these other two. You can find us at pinrot.com. Jive?
Yeah, and if you want, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter as well. I'm at Jive Midnight. Yeah. Like you said, you know, we hang out, we jam a little bit once in a while. Hopefully we'll come up with something new soon.
Yeah, and this is Kenny. You can follow me at RottenK999 on Twitter. And yeah, we should hopefully get some music out here shortly.
It'll be a good thing.
It would be.
So with that, we'll go and say goodbye, and I hope you all have a wonderful holidays and a happy new year, and we'll see you in 2014.
Be safe.